It's amazing what you learn in 50 years. I used to think when I started out in the ministry that you had to tell people step by step how they solve their problems. And then I've learned that the problem generally isn't the big thing. It's the perspective on the problem that's the big problem. You get everything in perspective, and then how you view the problem changes. And when how you view the problem changes, when that changes, then your behavior changes. And whoo, it's perspective. It's perspective on life. And this has been the great joy of my life in reading God's Word as I have over the last many, many years. My perspective on life is different. My perspective when I hear the news is different. My perspective on the difficulties I personally face is different. Totally different. When I run into a big financial need, the perspective is everything. It's just totally different. We get a different perspective from God's Word. And this service is a lot about perspective. You lose your perspective when you lose your focus on the Savior. I've read through the Psalms recently. In fact, I've got 3 chapters to go. Didn't quite finish it up, but 3 to go. And as I've been reading through, something just reached out and grabbed me. Several of the Psalms recount the history of Israel in their birth as a nation out of Egypt. And boy, that Egypt had birth pangs. Oh boy, labor pains. 10 of them, 10 great miracles, destructive miracles against Egypt. And God brought them out, and then they got stuck in the wilderness, and they were hemmed in between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea, and wow. And then God undertook, and the sea opened up, and through they went, and then as the Egyptian army came into the sea, back the sea went and drowned the whole army. An amazing thing. And then from place to place they went in the hand of God. But in these Psalms recounting these great wonders and works of God, we have these words. They forgot His deeds and His miracles. They quickly forgot His works. They forgot God, their Savior. And when they forgot, everything else changed. We have a saying, everything else went south. Everything deteriorated from there when they forgot. When they forgot. Luke is the one gospel that records the expression that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 11. Luke records the saying of the Lord when he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave to them. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance. Now, this is so that you keep your perspective so that you don't forget. So that you don't forget. Deuteronomy, you neglected the rock who begot you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. Now, I want you to recall today. Do a little recalling in your mind. Where were you when you were saved? What was the occasion? What was the event? Where were you when you were saved? Recall. Recall what God did to put you in that situation where you would receive the gospel. Recall that. Recall the work of God bringing you to Himself. Recall that. Recall time after time when you had to cry out to God. And anybody that knows God has cried out to God lots of times. Yes? Recall when you cried out to God and He was there. I read recently, David said of God, "You severely disciplined me." Woo! You recall the things God allowed in your life. You said, ouch, and you didn't like it, but God was in it. And the benefit and the blessing that came from it. Do this in remembrance of me. Keep the right perspective on your life. Listen, this world is not about man, it's about God. Our lives are not about us, they're about God. In Judges, the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot Yahweh their God, and they served the Baals and the Ashtoreth. So they forgot. And that just reached out and grabbed me, and I said, wow, what happens when we as believers forget? You know, one of the things that happens is we lose the sense of our blessedness. We lose the sense of our joy. We lose the sense of deep gratitude in our spirits. We lose it when we forget. We're here to remember. It occurred to me, and this is about the love of God, isn't it? To us, love is an emotional attraction towards someone. It's an emotional something that goes out towards someone that has something that recommends itself to us, but God's love can't be that because there was nothing in us to make God want us. It was all in Himself. It was all in Himself. God loves us because He's love. And in spite of what He saw, He loved us anyway. And poured His favor out on us in Jesus Christ. So Paul says in Corinthians, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, handed over to His enemies, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it. He said, this is My body, it's for you. Do this in remembrance, to remember Me. Then He took the cup in the same manner. This is the new covenant, He said, in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it. Help Me in remembrance of Me. In remembrance of Me. And so Paul picks up on that and the importance of that thing. And then he adds another element in this thing. He said, every time, as often as, that would be every time, you eat the bread, you drink the cup, you make a proclamation. Now this is like a public preaching. It's something that is done publicly and vocally. You make a proclamation of the Lord's death. So we're not only getting perspective, but we are giving a proclamation to our world of what God did for them. That's in this service. And so I have in my notes the dynamics of remembering. Number one, there is a conscious choosing to take time. There is a conscious choosing to recall. Recall. Remember means to recall out of the past. You remember, you recall. To recall past supernatural undertakings of God. My salvation was supernatural. If you don't have a supernatural salvation, you don't have it. It's supernatural. The undertakings of God in my life are supernatural. A remembering, a recollection, calling to remembrance. So first of all, in remembering, there is a recall of past supernatural undertakings of God. And then secondly, there is testimony. There's a very public making known of the foundation of all these supernatural works of God. That is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And as we said, the word proclaim means to announce, declare, promulgate, make known, proclaim publicly, publish. You declare, you publish, you announce the Lord's death until He comes. It seems that we are a nation now that is going to celebrate today sports. We celebrate politics, we celebrate this, we celebrate that. There is only one thing that can deeply impact a culture, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Until the hearts and minds and lives of men are changed, none of this other stuff is going to change. It just will not. And as believers, while we're in the middle of this aggressive evangelistic paganism. We're in the middle of this. We need to be aggressive evangelistic proclaimers of the death of Jesus Christ. This needs to be our focus. We need to have this perspective as we're looking at all of this out there. It's going to ruins, folks. If you can't listen to the news and read the paper and know that the whole thing is going to ruins, apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's where it's headed. So, this is our focus. This is our perspective today. We are here to remember, to remind, to recall, to refocus on our wonderful, wonderful Savior. If you have a hymn book, take it, please, and turn to hymn number 337. Hymn number 337. You'll notice the refrain on this hymn, "Lest I forget, lest I forget, lest I forget." We're here to recall and remember and remind ourselves. 337, hymn number 337. Give us just please the note, please. King of my life, I crown thee. Reading as the deacons wait on us for both the bread and the cup. I'm going to be reading out of Luke's Gospel where our Lord set this all in place. And then I'm going to be reading out of Corinthians. We don't often read these texts, so I'm going to read both of them today. Paul's instruction about the observance of the Lord's Supper of the Lord Jesus as he set it up and gave it to us as an ordinance for the church. Our Lord Jesus was gathered with his disciples in that upper room, and he took bread, and he blessed it, and then he broke it, and then he gave it to his disciples. Brother Donald Malone, lead us, please, in the prayer of thanksgiving and praise for the body of our Lord Jesus, given as a sacrifice in judgment for our sins on the cross. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death, for they were afraid of the people. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. They were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray him to them apart from the crowd. Then came the first day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And he said to them, "When you've entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters, and you shall say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large, furnished upper room. Prepare it there." And they left and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you that I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." Brother Donald, in his prayer, mentioned who for the joy that was set before him. Wow. Joy in a sacrifice for our sins because of what it would accomplish. Ooh. Did you get that? This is my body. Not only given for you with joy, which is given for you. Now, keep perspective. Do this in remembrance of me. Again, we read, "After the same manner also he took the cup, gave also of it to his disciples." Brother Carl Cahill, please, if you will, lead us in a prayer of praise and thanksgiving for this blood of the covenant, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for our sins.
Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your Son, the Lamb of God, who took away the sin of the world. And we're thankful that you loved us, seemingly unlovable, that you took mercy upon us, saw us in our helpless state, and sent your Son to die for us, and shed his blood for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in your eating, each one takes his own supper first. One is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses in which to eat and drink, or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? And this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come." Talk about perspective. This cup, Jesus said, is the new covenant. That means that there is something that cannot be changed, altered, amended. It cannot be broken. It is a commitment of God to be our Savior forever. It's not dependent on circumstances. It's not dependent on what happens around us. Depends on God who did it for us in Jesus Christ. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood," Jesus said. "Do this every time you drink it. Do it in remembrance of me." This whole thing is to draw us to Him, yes? Focus on Him, and may the reality of Christ shine in our lives every place we go.